Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. That's right. On a Monday morning, good President's Day to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Make sure to download that podcast each and every day. Radio.com and Apple Podcasts. We certainly appreciate. We hope everyone out there had themselves a wonderful weekend. And welcome to the work week as Jason Lockenfora will join us about 20 minutes from now. Look forward to that conversation, Taz. All the drama with Antonio Brown and that saga, and certainly the big news over the course of the weekend that broke Friday, and that leads us off with the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid settle collusion grievance with the NFL.
Right, so not a lawsuit, but a grievance through the collective bargaining agreement Players Association with the National Football League, and that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, now the safety for the Carolina Panthers, settled that grievance with the NFL. Particulars of that settlement, Taz, are undetermined. We don't know. And those are sealed. Both sides can't talk about it. But we do know the grievance has been settled. So we're not exactly sure the financial package that both players got to end the grievance with the National Football League. But in essence, kind of surprising turn of events. Never really thought it would go in that direction, especially with the way that NFL has handled other issues with other players, and specifically Tom Brady, and the way that they followed through with that in the court system. This is different. This is not the court system, but they settled it nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about this earlier for those that are listening now live. If you want to hear like the full conversation, we get into a pretty heavy in full discussion about this. So check out the podcast at Apple Podcast or radio.com. You can catch it. It's a good 45-minute, probably, I would say, give or take conversation on this. But, yeah, to your point, Moose, the NFL, I mean, they got a long history of basically beating the living daylights out of opposition in any kind of dispute or court of law, including, you know, players. It happens. It's happened a lot. Like you just mentioned Tom Brady. So this didn't happen here. There's definitely, parties, Eric Reid and Kaepernick signing, obviously, confidentiality agreements, whatever the terms were, with whatever kind of money they received. Reid recently just signed a deal with the Carolina Panthers, so he's already playing. But we'll see what happens with Kaepernick. I really feel he's going to end up with a team sooner rather than later as a backup quarterback. You know, within the next few weeks, I think it'll be announced that he's signed. And then the conversation is, well, did Kaepernick sell out? Did he not? You know, what's the deal? And I mentioned earlier, like, it's a tough conversation. It's not a tough conversation. It's kind of like, I'm kind of like, I don't want to say I'm on the fence, but it's like I understand where, you know, he settled here, and he could have basically put out more information, I would assume. I mean, Kaepernick, he sued, he won. I mean, that's basically what happened. I mean, but he could have definitely exposed some stuff about the NFL, maybe more, but maybe he kind of let that slide because of money. So I could see why some would think that he sold out. But yet he did bring awareness. He did bring awareness to social injustice and stuff and police brutality and everything, and I think that's a great thing that he did. So, and he paused his career or hurt his career for that. So, I could see both sides of the argument as far as did he sell out or didn't he. But end of the day, I do think he ends up in an NFL uniform the next couple of weeks as far as on a roster.
Yeah, it's interesting, the sellout aspect of it. What would he term or define as a victory? You know, getting a lot of money from the National Football League or exposing some fundamental flaws within the NFL system and putting it out there for the public domain. I mean, that's ultimately the only question that he and Eric Reid can answer. Now, Reid did call Malcolm Jenkins who decided to work with the NFL, get funding for his work in the community from the National Football League. And Reed did call Malcolm Jenkins a sellout during the course of the regular season. So are you now going to be able to call Reed a sellout for this settlement with the NFL and settling their grievance? I mean, you could. I mean, you know, and Malcolm Jenkins can certainly play that game if he chose to. For Colin Kaepernick, here's his lawyer, Mark Garagos, who was on CNN over the course of the weekend, to the very fact of whether or not Kaepernick, he believes, will sign in the National Football League.
I think the issue was hijacked by the president. I think that people kind of cowered in the face of that. Ultimately, at the end of the day, there was a brave two or three voices in various spots that said, no, America is better than this, and we're going to do the right thing. I think you're going to see, I'll make the bold prediction, you can save the tape, I think you're going to see within the next 2 weeks that somebody's going to step up, somebody's going to do the right thing. You want me to predict too? I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move. That would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach also makes a move.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think he'll probably get another job in the NFL as well. Taz mentioned he believes too. So, I mean, he have his agents, his lawyer, I should say, over the weekend saying it on CNN too. So we'll see if Kaepernick does, in fact, at 31 years of age, now having played football for 25 months here, gets another job or another opportunity to play in the NFL real soon. Here's former NBA commissioner David Stern talking about Kaepernick.
If Colin Kaepernick was a basketball player, would he have a job right now?
Yes.
Why doesn't he?
Individual choice. When the president of the United States makes a big deal about something, it may intimidate you to say, well, maybe I don't need that problem. You know, when I have a choice, maybe not Colin Kaepernick. But I always said he should have been suspended and he'd be playing. That's it.
Yeah, that would have been it.
That would have been it.
Yeah, and it's fair. And David Stern was as good of a commissioner as you've seen of a professional sport in terms of the growth of a sport. So Kaepernick and Reed settle their grievance with the NFL, Taz, and the NFL looks to move on. Reed's got a 3-year contract with Carolina. We'll see if Kaepernick gets a job in the NFL real soon, too.
Number two.
Report. Harper talks with the Phillies have intensified.
Mike's good at this.
Yes, he does a nice job.
He does a good job.
He does.
No.
So Bryce Harper still hasn't signed with the Phillies, even though the reports over the weekend had basically said that it was steamrolling to that signing. Neither of the two huge everyday players that are still available in free agency have signed anywhere. We'll see if he ends up with the Phillies. They've got stupid money to spend, Taz. If they end up with Bryce Harper, it's an absolute home run for the Philadelphia Phillies. It really would be. You hurt the Nats, you improve your chances in the National League East, you add a young superstar to that city. It would be a great signing for Philadelphia. We'll see if this deal actually gets done.
Yeah, big time deal, man. 10 years, that's the rumor, right? Over $300 million. That's insanity. You know, guaranteed money, how much you're going to get up front. You know, I don't know. I mean, geez, I mean, it's just nuts. I got my gut tells me this is going to happen. I mean, we've heard the Phillies, like you were saying, they'll come up before in the convo for sure. And now it just seems like it's starting to escalate, you know, being that the team's already, you know, in the middle of spring training here doing their thing and all that stuff. So I do think that's going to happen. Then the interesting is what happens with Machado. Now, does he end up signing quicker? Because of this, you know, it could be. We'll see. But I feel like, as an overview, as a sports talk narrative, it's been nonstop about these two guys almost forever. I know that's an exaggeration, but it really feels like it's been going on forever. So just happy that it's almost over. Just so we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, it would be nice. So. I mean, that would be nice for it to come to an end. I agree with you. It feels like it has gone on forever. We'll see which ship is the first big piece to fall, whether it be Harper, whether it be Machado. We'll see if maybe Harper's agent, Scott Boras, is using the Phillies as a little bit of leverage to get some money, from more money someplace else. I mean, who the hell knows at this stage? It's been all speculation, all conjecture, a lot of rampant rumors. And we'll see if this one does ring true, if Bryce Harper does indeed end up in Philadelphia with the Phillies.
Number three.
Team LeBron wins the NBA All-Star Game.
Yes, Kevin Durant, your MVP, dropping in 31. They rally from 20 points down to win it. The All-Star game last night down in Charlotte. You had all the festivities, the three big day event down in Charlotte, North Carolina, Taz. And Dwayne Wade, final All-Star game for Dwayne Wade. And let's hear, he was a member of Team LeBron. Let's hear from his former teammate with the Heat, but Wade in his last All-Star game appearance.
Thankful for the NBA for making sure and accommodating everything that you know I wanted and things that I didn't even think I needed or wanted. They provided. My team did an amazing job, my family. So I couldn't ask for anything more this weekend. It definitely was my most enjoyable. People like to say, what's your most? This one would take place now as my most memorable, most enjoyable All-Star.
Yeah, it's a celebration, right? As is was a celebration for Dirk Nowitzki on his last All-Star weekend as a player.
Pleasure to compete with these guys one more time on the stage, and you know, that got honored in between the third and fourth quarter. That was emotional. So it's it was a great weekend for me, and I'm ready to go home.
There you go, ready to go home. Is Dirk?
He plays tired.
Yes,
he's an older man.
Yeah,
amazing career, amazing player though. You know.
Yeah, and he is, and had an amazing and really an all time great finals performance in which his Mavericks beat LeBron in the Miami Heat year one of LeBron down there in South Beach. Here's Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak for Milwaukee. Team Giannis led early. Faded late, especially in that third quarter. He dropped in 38. Here he is after the All-Star game appearance.
It's easy. As long as you stay humble and down to earth, it's easy. I think just being a leader of the team, it wasn't as tough as I thought because, you know, my teammates, you know, the guys in the locker room encouraged me to step up and take it serious and play hard and help the team to win. So, you know, that was kind of easy tonight.
He did do that, too. Yeah. He did play hard. Like, he wasn't a joke to him. Like,
no.
He was going on.
No,
yeah.
He had one outlet pass, which was fantastic.
Unbelievable, yeah.
That led to, you know, an easy bucket the other way, Taz, off a defensive
38
rebound.
38 points, bro. Insane.
Yeah, dropped in 38. And so a good weekend all the way around for the NBA as you celebrate the big stars down there in Charlotte. We mentioned it. A couple things in terms of Anthony Davis, number one with him. He said that all of the 29 teams are on the table, just doesn't want to stay in New Orleans. The Pelicans now are searching for a new GM as they fired Dell Demps. Didn't cross Boston off of his list of teams that he would want to go to. Now also asked about the Knicks. He said they're a great organization. I don't know if you could say the Knicks have been a great organization, but the Knicks are clearly still one of those teams that are on the list. He wants to play anywhere else but New Orleans. So right. The Pelicans now have to find whoever is their next general manager, Taz, have got to find that team with the package that makes them comfortable in trading Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I think AD there is talking about the Knicks as a great organization. I'm assuming he means, you know, because of the big attraction, the allure that they play in Madison Square Garden. And it's in New York, you know, the you know, biggest market in the world. So I would assume that's what he meant, too, because you're right. The organization part of it,
yeah,
they stink.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's probably what it is. But, yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think we talked about it all. We both agree he's going to end up with Boston. And, you know, and that's and now it's like, even though, despite what his dad said, you know, Boston might be where he wants to play. So it's kind of the overview of it. So, as usual, it's the NBA. It's you know, a lot of chatter, a lot of talk, a lot of movement, and it's fun. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to cover.
And Kevin Durant wouldn't answer questions about free agency. Said he's just focused on playing it with Golden State and being the best player he can be.
So we don't have games till Thursday now.
Not
right?
Forward that story at all.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
If you're Kevin Durant, so yeah. That's it. I mean, you know, aside from, you know, Joe Harris winning the three-point shootout and the Net fans celebrating, Bisseglia and the boys celebrating, aside from that, you know, and I thought a pretty good weekend for the NBA overall.
Yeah.
If you're Adam Silver.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm like a lot of people. I don't get into the All-Star game thing. You know, it's just but whatever. No, it's fine. And like I was saying, I don't think we have games till Thursday now, I believe. So there's no NBA games till Thursday. So it's like you got some downtime here. You know, there's no NFL football. There's always the AAF. You know, so which I watched this weekend. So you know, that's what you delve into. You know, watch some hockey, do your thing. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
And college hoops.
College
hoops is huge right now.
Yes,
we're going to welcome aboard Jason LaConfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, is going to join Taz and myself next. You're listening to us. It's a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, CBS Sports Network is on the hardwood for Patriot League action as Boston University battles Holy Cross on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Jason Lockenfora will run around the National Football League with him here momentarily. Jacob Wilkins is in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, Moose and Taz. NBA All-Star Game. Usual high-scoring game last night. Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 178-164. Kevin Durant, the All-Star Game MVP with 31 points. Third All-Star Game for Antetokounmpo, and he felt more relaxed this time around.
Previously, my first and second All-Star, I think I was kind of nervous. This one, I was a little bit more relaxed. I had my name in the MVP until the third quarter. They got hard, they took it away from me, but at the end of the day, I had fun, my family had fun, and it's just a great experience.
And he did lead his team with 38 points. Meanwhile, Daytona 500, Denny Hamlin winning for the second time in 4 years, and Joe Gibbs Racing, they had cars in the top three spots. J.B. Holmes rallied past Justin Thomas to win the Genesis Open at Riviera by a stroke at 14 under. Thomas had a four-stroke lead on Holmes entering the final round, but was four over for the round. That ended up costing him, and Holmes says it's been quite a week.
Just with having to get up at 4:40 the last couple days and play 27 one day and 11 holes one day and 33 holes one day. So it was a test of the routine and stuff. So it was a tough week, but played great all week, and luckily at the end I was able to pull it out.
Tiger Woods, after a strong Saturday, finished at 6 under. College hoops, St. John's defeating number 13 Villanova for the first time at the Garden since 2002. Nova blew a 19-point lead, up by as many as 14 in the second half. Number 11 Michigan State, big second half to beat Ohio State 62-44, but it came at a cost. The Spartans' Nick Ward fracturing his hand out, and definitely they hope he can be back by the end of the season. Looking forward to that interview with Jason, guys.
All right, they appreciate it. Thank you, Jacob. Yes, Jason Lockett for NFL Insider for CBS Sports joins us now. Jason, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes, man. I appreciate it on this morning.
My pleasure, guys. How's everything going?
Good, bud. Good. Hanging in there, Jason. Were you surprised by the news that came down on Friday and the settlement, with Kaepernick and Reed and the National Football League?
Yeah, I was. This is fairly unprecedented. There isn't really a blueprint or a template for this. It's usually the league coming after a player or a coach, right? And especially in the NFL, whether it's Deflategate or Bountygate or whatever, not so much a player putting the commissioner and maybe not all 32 owners, but at least half of them and a bunch of GMs and a bunch of coaches sort of under the gun. So I was sort of very interested just to see where it went, how it proceeded, if or when we got to a hearing stage and what that would have been like for the league and these various people who would have basically been told, you have to consider this like you're under oath and be as honest as you possibly can. And, you're about to be on the wrong end of an inquisition. So I knew the league, for various reasons, did not want to get to a process like that, but I wasn't sure, because these sides were sort of so diametrically opposed, if they would be able to find enough common ground to sort of settle and squash this thing. And obviously they were, in the weeks and months to come. I suspect we learn a little bit more about some of the particulars. I don't think we'll ever, know everything based on the confidentiality agreements, et cetera. But an unprecedented situation with an unprecedented conclusion. And no matter what we may find out one way or the other, the bottom line is the NFL gave concessions and gave a lot of money to somebody who they didn't have to do anything for. So I don't know how you don't look at that at least as a baseline, as I'm not going to use terms like won or lost, but certainly Colin Kaepernick got some recourse from the NFL. And this was something when the process started, the league didn't even think he had merit for it to move forward. They wanted it over before it began. And it ended up with them stroking a pretty big check for Colin Kaepernick. So I think the process in his mind probably served him well.
And so Jason, you think that Kaepernick will be back in the NFL? I mean, sooner rather than later, after everything that just happened this weekend?
I don't know about sooner rather than later. I don't know if at all at this point, to
really?
Be honest with you.
And I'm sure you heard what his attorney
said.
Yeah,
no, I know him, you know, and I think very highly of Mark Garagos. But I can also remember Mark Garagos going on CNN in this, you know, like, I don't know, 6 months ago and saying somebody was about to sign him then. And, oh, wait for this, you know, this other shoe's going to drop. And, you know, wait, there's going to be a bombshell. I don't know. Could somebody sign him? Sure. Do I think three teams are kind of, you know, waiting to give him a contract any moment now? I don't think so. I have a hard time thinking that's the case. But at some point over the course of a long offseason, is there an owner willing to do it? Possibly. But these are the same guys who also, in the heat of the moment, right, as seasons were unwinding, as seasons were collapsing because this quarterback went down or that quarterback went down or that quarterback went down, they systematically found Mark Sanchez, you know what I mean, or
yeah.
Matt Cassel or Josh Johnson, anybody but Colin Kaepernick in real time as seasons were falling apart. I don't know that now all of a sudden with 6 months before we play a preseason game that people are all of a sudden going to give Colin Kaepernick an NFL contract. I hope they do. I hope he gets his shot. He's clearly one of the best 100. There's going to be 100-plus quarterbacks under contract again this offseason. He's clearly one of the best 100. But I don't know, guys. I've kind of watched this whole thing unfold, and I don't know that it has, a shiny, happy resolution.
You know, Jason, it's hard to say win-loss. We don't know exactly the parameters of the deal. I'll ask it from this way. Do you think Kaepernick looks at this, Reed looks at this as a win?
I've gotten to know Colin a fair amount over the course of his career and spent some time with him last winter, probably 4 hours hanging out with him. And it ended up being days before he filed the collusion lawsuit. I don't think he's looking at it as a win at all. I think it's degrees of sort of the degrees to which you can kind of put your head on the pillow at night and think you at least fought the good fight. You know, his career might be over completely. Two seasons have passed without him getting a workout. You know, he's had to deal with the President of the United States calling him and his cohorts SOBs. I don't think he's looking at it like a win. I think he's looking at it as I followed my heart. In his mind, it was a necessary struggle. He still doesn't know exactly where it will lead. He's still developing his platform. Along the way, he's done a ton of stuff for a lot of people, giving $1 million away, you know, is working with kids on a daily basis and trying to stay in the best shape he can stay in. But I don't think he's looking at it as a win. I think he was looking at it as there's things sort of conspiring against me here, and I can either take my ball and go home, or I can try to fight for what I think is right. And he went into that fight knowing I have no idea how it's going to end or if it's going to be a fair process or what I'm going to find out, but I'm not just going to sit idly back and let this whole thing continue to happen as it is.
You know, he did bring, him and Reed, you know, he brought a lot of awareness to social injustice and everything, police brutality and everything, what he was stood behind. You know, he did do that. So if we shift gears, Jace, about the Steelers, Antonio Brown, I mean, what type of draft picks do you think that Pittsburgh can get for AB at this point?
I think that as long as nothing else comes out or, you know, the league doesn't feel like there is discipline forthcoming from this domestic incident, I think they can get low first-round value for him, whether that is a first-round pick in the back end of the first round or whether that's a 2 and a 4 or 3 threes or, you know what I mean, whatever combination of draft picks they feel like on their draft chart comes out to late first-round value, they'll be willing to do it. And I think they'll be open to different concepts and different ideas. It could be a player in a pick. But this isn't going to be, this isn't a salary dump. This is a football trade. This is something that's about value. You know what I mean? It's not the Baltimore Ravens saying, give us whatever the best thing we can get to unload this contract of this guy who we don't want here anymore. I mean, that's what Joe Flacco was, a salary dump. This is a football trade. I know they want him in the NFC. They want him out of the AFC, and they want to try to get first-round value for him. And I think, you know, what, 8-9 days from now, we're in Indianapolis at the Combine. That's when things would really get shaking. I think they'll be able to find that, whether it's the Saints or the Eagles or the 49ers or the Seahawks or the Bears or the Packers. You could come up with a pretty good list of NFC teams that might feel like they're an Antonio Brown away from either, in the case of the 49ers, going from afterthoughts to a playoff team, or for those other teams going from, you know, a pretty good team with good playoff chances to maybe, you know, a team that now could win a Super Bowl if a guy like that was able to come in and stay healthy. And the bottom line is he has been healthy, and he'll be a young 31, and every year he catches 100 balls for about 1,400 yards at least, you know, and at least 10 touchdowns. Those guys aren't just hanging out on the street corner.
You know, Jason, his behavior, though, you know, the Q&A with fans over the weekend, some of the other stuff, I know to a lot of teams it doesn't matter. Does it scare anybody off?
Sure. I mean, it's not ideal. You know, they're not getting rid of him because he still isn't a dominant football player. They're getting rid of him because he can't coexist with their coach and quarterback anymore because locker room issues have boiled over. But I think teams that study that situation will also say, well, wait a minute. You know, the Steelers were a bit of a pressure cooker last year overall. And you had the Le'Veon Bell situation, and you had dudes talking about Bell's money and posing in Bell's locker. And you had a lot of unusual circumstances there that were maybe allowed to fester, that were covered up because they won. And then when they stopped winning, you know, the you-know-what hit the fan. There's GMs and coaches out there who will always convince themselves, we can make this guy work in our locker room, in our culture, right, with our leaders, with a blank slate. We're getting a top five receiver for $13 million a year pay as you go at a time where guys like Sammy Watkins are getting $18 million a year. And we got this cat, 3 years, 13, 13, 13, no balloon payments, no guarantees. If it doesn't work out here, we trade him next season and recoup one of the two picks we traded to get rid of him. I think at the end of the day, there'll be more people talking themselves into it than talking themselves out of it.
So, hey, Jace, man, so obviously everything with the Cardinals, the head coach, the new head coach, Kingsbury, and what he said about Kyler Murray while he was, you know, college coach, you see a scenario with the Cardinals where they might actually deal Josh Rosen, being that they have that first pick. Do you see a situation like that?
I think they're much more focused on and much more likely to be a scenario where if Kyler Murray proves to be the best quarterback in this draft through the combine and the pre-draft evaluations and pro days and team visits and all that, then I think the Arizona Cardinals will be doing backflips because I still trade out of one. I mean, the Cardinals need help everywhere. I mean, they're not a Nick Bosa away. You know what I mean?
Right,
they're not
right.
A Quinnen Williams away from being anywhere close to winning. And the way this draft sets up and some of their needs, a guy they would get at, whatever, sixth overall might not be a hell of a lot different than the guy they're getting first overall, especially if a couple quarterbacks go and they're not taking quarterbacks. So I think they're all about trading down. I think they're going to keep talking up Kyler Murray sort of privately and crossing their fingers that Kyler Murray projects well and handles himself well when he meets these executives, because it makes their pick worth more. And somebody might say, I got to get ahead of the Giants to get this quarterback. Or if the Giants move to 3 with the Jets, then maybe I've got to go all the way to 1. They want quarterbacks to be hot. But what are you going to get for Josh Rosen? I mean, it would be a difficult trade to execute right now. You're not going to get close to the value you gave up to get him. And, I mean, are they going to be the organization that just gives up on everybody after a year? You know what I mean? You kick Steve Wilks and his coaching staff to the curb after a year. You're gutting your roster, and now you don't have enough conviction to stand by a kid you traded up to get a 10th overall a year ago. I think at a certain point you got to start building with some of the stuff you have.
You know, Jason, with Murray though, and we'll see exactly how he grades out, where he comes in height wise and everything and the like. But you know, the early after he commits to football here, you know, what's the early grumblings you hear from talent evaluators about his game translating at his size to the NFL?
I mean, the size will resonate more with some teams than others. I mean, I think you'll hear people who say he plays bigger than he is. He doesn't get a ton of balls knocked down at the line of scrimmage. He's so athletic and so mobile, and he throws so well on the run, and he's able to create space for himself. Now, it's one thing when you're doing it behind a dominant offensive line in college. It's another where you might go to a bad team in the NFL without the same sort of protection. Everybody's going to have to make their own peace with that. But I think what teams are really interested in now is, I mean, it's obvious this kid can play football. But no one spent a lot of time on him this fall because nobody thought this was going to happen, including him and his dad. So when people were in Oklahoma, they weren't spending a whole lot of time interviewing the quarterback for an hour and, you know, seeing what he's like after practice and asking a million questions about him because he's a baseball player. So this is all kind of cute, and then he'll be playing another sport. They haven't gotten to know him and done the due diligence on him the way they would any other top-ranked quarterback in any other year. So the teams are actually coming from sort of a place of we're scrambling to catch up with this kid. And I think the time he spends individually, starting at the combine with those 15-minute meetings and then expanding to visits with teams and people flying all over the place to talk to his parents and talk to his high school coaches and all that, I think that's the part of the process that will be incredibly important for him. Because of some of the unusual nature of the two-sport thing and where his mind really is and some of the weird interviews he did at the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be about getting in this kid's head and seeing exactly what he's all about before we use the first, the third, the sixth, the eighth, whatever overall pick on him.
Well, staying in the quarterback theme, Jace, if a quarterback that all the NFL evaluators do know about is Nick Foles, where do you think that Foles will be ultimately dealt to?
We saw this with Flacco, right, where it's Denver for a four, and I think Baltimore did really well to get a four. But, like, it was only going to be, you know, Jacksonville, maybe Washington, maybe Denver. But that's the quarterback market right now. Well, now scratch Denver off it. I mean, it's really Jacksonville. I mean, it's Jacksonville, or it's Jacksonville, or I guess it's Jacksonville.
Right.
Washington, do they want to go and pay a 30-something guy $20 million a year when they're already giving Alex Smith, well, I shouldn't say giving, they are contractually obligated to pay Alex Smith another $54 million the next 2 years, whether he plays or not? I don't see how that's feasible for them. You know, Jacksonville clearly is still trying to win now. John DeFilippo, who used to work with Foles and with the Eagles, is down there. They think they're a veteran quarterback away from being, a decent team again. I would say they're not, but that's who they think they are. So there's a game of chicken going on right now, and it's a dangerous game that the Eagles are playing because if they tag him, he's going to sign that sheet immediately, yeah. I would think. And now you better hope you get something for him. I mean, do you end up just trading him for a 6 or a 7 because Jacksonville and maybe Miami or maybe Washington stick to their guns? I don't know. I wouldn't tag him. I would say enough's enough. We'll take the comp pick for him. Godspeed. But they're certainly considering tagging him, and they might. But, I mean, if he leaves with a comp pick, you're probably getting at least a fourth-round pick in 2020. Are you that desperate to get a third-round pick at best in 2019 for him? I don't know, man. We know. I'll tell you this. He's not going to be back in Philadelphia. This is not a good year to be moving quarterbacks after so many quarterbacks changed locations a year ago. And I don't think Foles is going to get a monster contract. I mean, 3 years, you know, $65 million, something like that, which by current quarterback standards is by no means nuts. I think that's probably his best case.
We're talking to Jason Lockett, former NFL insider for CBS Sports. Jason, final one for me. Is dealing with the fallout from the Super Bowl. We know all the accolades going New England's way. I'm curious if from a Rams perspective heading into this offseason, you know, they went all in. McVay clearly put the brunt of the blame of that performance offensively on himself after the game. We saw the quarterback Goff struggle. We know they're not going anywhere, but this is an interesting offseason because that is a tough loss to bounce back from, especially with how poorly they played offensively and schematically couldn't figure out exactly what New England was doing defensively, and certainly with all the impending free agents they have as well.
Yeah, it's it's called the Super Bowl hangover for a reason, right? The team that loses a Super Bowl generally has a down year the following year and might have to scrap and claw to get their way back, you know, to a wild card spot or something like that. It does seem to take a toll, whether it's mentally, physically, a combination of all of the above. And they're going to have to reinvent themselves some. They're not going to be able to go all in on a bunch of one-year free agents like last year and kind of put a team of mercenaries together. They're going to have to get some young, cheap labor on the defensive side of the ball. I think they're going to have to really invest their draft capital over there. You're not going to be able to moving forward. forward be able to keep a Sue with a Donald. You know, that's not happening. You're not going to be able to have Tlaib and Peters. You know, you're going to have to make some decisions there. I don't see Peters being back there. I don't see Sue being back there. I don't see Fowler being back there. You know, and they've sunk their money into the offensive side of the ball. And once they pick Goff, you know, it's only going to be more lopsided. So I think it's going to be about the draft and utilizing some of these compensatory picks for these guys walking in the next 2 years to find some younger and cheaper replacements. But look, this is a team that showed, take the Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah.
All year long, they showed they can get to 35 before you can get to 35. And I think that's who they are. And with Wade Phillips, it's going to be just get us a couple of turnovers a game, a couple of stops, and they're going to have to win with offense because they've made their bed with Gurley. They've made their bed with Cooks. They're going to make their bed with Goff. You know, they got to get change some things up on the offensive line, but you know, they'll get Cooper Kupp back. That's who they are, man. They're going to try to outscore you.
Jason, we appreciate the time on this Monday morning. We'll do it again real soon, all right, bud?
Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure. Sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
You got it. Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports, giving you some good info there, especially about the Kaepernick scenario. We ran through some of the quarterback situations as well. See what all transpires. It's going to be a fascinating offseason for the National Football League when their new league year does begin come March 13th. But we're 8 and 9 days away from the scouting combine out in Indianapolis. We'll come back. Tass and myself will rejoin you. We got the undercard coming your way next on a holiday Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Keep it locked in right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Jim Rome here. Join me in the jungle later today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Holiday plans
today,
Taz. Do anything with that?
Nope. No.
All right.
I'm just going to train. Well, I'm not going to train. I'm
just hanging out.
Probably going to take a nap, then get up, have a little snack, probably have a little coffee. Maybe I'll watch a little television for about 20, 25 minutes. Then maybe I'll go on the porch, grab a cigar. Won't smoke it. Today's not a smoke day for me, but I'll look at it. I'll keep it in my mouth. Then go back in the house, probably hit the head.
Nice. Very detailed. All right. CBS Sports Radio toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Russell in Milwaukee. Would Zion in the dunk contest next year get you interested in the event? Yeah, for sure. Taz, really? You?
No,
not that much. The whole look. If LeBron, all these great players that were just in the All-Star game and in the dunk contest, all if I wasn't into it then, so some kid that's going to be 19, that's a stud, great player out of Duke, Zion Williamson, that's going to make me watch the dunk contest? No, it's not. I don't care about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it does. You want to see the stars in it. I mean, that's what made it when it was Michael and Dominique in Chicago, whether it be Larry shooting the threes. You want your stars to partake when Kobe won the dunk contest. What's that?
Not enough stars now?
Not to that level. All right. No, not when.
But Zion Williamson is going to change it for you?
Not to the Jordan. It would make it more intriguing. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, is the best player in the world in the dunk contest? No. So, I mean, when Jordan was doing it, when he won it on back-to-back occasions, and the legendary dunk contest that they just replayed, I think it was Thursday night on NBA TV, was fantastic to watch again. Is that's as good of a dunk contest as you'll see. Those two in Chicago, and that's the old Chicago building, not the new one, the Madhouse on Madison. That was as good as it gets in terms of the dunk contest. That's when Jordan took off from the free throw line. Yeah, I think if the stars are there, I think you get more into it. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Well, I do at least. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
I was going to say, you might have sold me. I might be into it now next year. You might have sold me, Moose. Really.
I'm, yeah, I'm, I'm I
easily swayed. You say it, I trust you. Well, so I listen to you. You
know I appreciate that. It's really but that Jordan contest was amazing.
Epic. Yeah, epic.
It was
epic
great. Yes. I mean, it really was. Anyway, yes. Let's get to it. The undercard.
10 and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Hi, Michael. Part of the NBA All-Star festivities, Adam Silver, the commissioner, he introduced smart jerseys. These are jerseys where you can change the number, you can change the player, you can change the team. Do you think kids will be interested in smart jerseys?
How much do they go for?
Don't have a price yet on the smart jerseys.
Listen, I'm a little confused. What do you mean? So it's you wear the – it's clothing. You wear the jersey.
Yeah.
And then you change. What do you have, like an app? You could change the jersey number to it.
It's a digital, so you can change the look and basically have different jerseys.
When you're wearing it, I can grab a kid could wear a jersey. I'm number 19 today. You know what? Tomorrow I'm going to change this jersey to 12. What do you got? A tackle twill sewing machine in your house? How does that work?
I think the way technology has advanced, you can now make those kind of adjustments to your jersey.
How? It's
science.
Science. It's got to be sewn in, bro. How is this? I need more info, Moose. I can't give it a hard opinion on this without legitimate information here. This is not proper information. I'm telling you.
Silver didn't explain exactly how it would change.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have
well, look, if you got a design center or something online on an account where you go to shop for the jersey and you could change the jersey there, you could do that now on a website. I want to get a custom jersey. I want to get a custom Mets jersey.
You can do it with anything you want.
So how is this different? There's more info out there. I know there is. I just don't know it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right. You would just go in. He didn't really get into the technology. But, yeah, it's fascinating. Well, they're progressive thinking in the NBA.
Yes. I mean, it'd be epic if it's an app that you could use on your phone. Where I'm tired of wearing number 5 on this Knicks jersey, Moose.
Right, change it up.
Change it right now.
Point, yeah.
Oh, look at that, number 10.
That's the point.
That's not happening. What are you going to walk around with an LCD on your chest? Like we got like a monitor. You walk around. What are you, like Captain Video? How are you doing this?
You didn't get into the technology. All right, next.
Oh my God, it's a limbo.
Looking forward to the dramatic answer to this whenever it comes down. Really excited. Major League Baseball's commissioner, Rob Manfred, he said we'll see the pitch clocks in spring training.
Nice.
Any interest in seeing this?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's good. Speed up the game.
Good stuff. It's really good stuff.
I love sports.
It's good stuff. Seriously. It works. Fine. Perfect. Fine. Perfect. Awesome. Fine.
Yes.
Perfect. Next!
Good job, bud, man.
Report.
And finally, there is a video that's gone viral showing Earth, the universe, all the suns and everything out there, and showing how insignificant
it's called the galaxy,
we
bro.
Really are.
It's called the friggin' galaxy.
It's called the friggin' galaxy.
Right.
Yes. If you've seen this, does it make you feel like your life is meaningless?
No.
No, absolutely not. I feel stronger now because I'm part of a massive universe and on top of my game, Moose. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't I? You feel the same way.
Mark Malusis.
Why wouldn't you?
I didn't really get depressed about it, my insignificance because of the size of the planet in the galaxy.
Wow, look at the size of Jupiter. I feel like poop.
Yes.
Like, really?
It's a pretty. It is a pretty cool photo, though. It is.
I didn't
really
see
cool.
it. Where do I find this photo?
The internet.
Wait, to comment on it, then.
The internet. Thanks, Mark.
Right, yes. Hop online.
Mike's like, I'll send you a link.
It's all over the place.
Yeah,
Dan, good job. Mike, good job. Appreciate it.
Excellent.
Wilkins with the updates.
It's awesome.
Jason Lock and Foro for joining us earlier on this hour. Folks, enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday. Taz, be well, man.
Yeah, tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Peace.
Adios.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.